You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. The New York Mets were able to get a series split over the weekend against the San Diego Padres, winning the final two games of that series. I'm going to talk about that in the first segment of today's show. In the second segment, I want to focus on Francisco Lindor and James McCann, who have both experienced a real turnaround offensively as of late. And then finally, in the third segment, I want to talk about the importance of this week as the Mets have two off days before an absolutely brutal stretch ahead of the All-Star break. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Now, I talked about Thursday's game in depth on Friday's show as the Mets lost to Yu Darvish, showed some fight in that game, but ultimately could not complete a comeback. Friday, the Mets' offense was anemic. Blake Snell returned to the guy that he was back in Tampa, not the guy that's been struggling all season for the Padres. He had a no-hitter going into the seventh inning before Lindor got a base hit to break that up. But the Mets just could not score. Joe Lucchese, very good in that game, got an out in the fifth inning for the first time this year. Actually got two outs, didn't quite make it through the inning, but he's starting to pitch deeper into games. That was maybe the one positive takeaway from Friday night, that and Lindor getting two hits. But the Mets lose that game 2-0, and they look early on in that series just like a team that is maybe a tier below the Padres. That's just what it seemed like. And to the Padres' credit and to Fernando Tatis Jr.'s credit, they have a superstar on that side that can break games open. And that's what Tatis Jr. did early on in this series. But the Mets found a way to get the series split. And going into the weekend, I think everyone was saying, if the Mets come away with two games out in San Diego and they win, they'll feel pretty good about themselves to finish the week with a 4-3 record. Everything kind of worked out the way the Mets hoped it would by winning the games on Saturday and Sunday. And it came down to outstanding pitching performances from the two best pitchers on the Mets, Jacob deGrom and Marcus Stroman. And I think what we've seen this year is having those two guys at the top of their craft, throw in Taijuan Walker as well, the Mets have been able to hang into games, win close games, and in some ways kind of punch above their weight class when it comes to the standings with all the injuries they've had. The fact that they're the only team in this division over 500 with everything they've gone through, it's remarkable, and it comes down to pitching most days. And Jacob deGrom was his same old brilliant self on Saturday. It gets to a point where you don't even, I feel like I say this every time he starts, I don't know what to say anymore. Do I go heavy into all the records he broke this start, the same as he did the previous start? Do I talk about how he's the best pitcher in this generation? It, at a certain point, just becomes, I don't know, it's deja vu, it's Groundhog's Day. It doesn't matter what you want to call it. Every time he takes a ball, he's amazing, he's unhittable, and it is just a joy to watch. And in this game on Saturday, there was one defining moment that I feel like we should talk about, which is the fourth inning, where DeGrom gives up a couple of hits, sandwiching an error by Lindor. He's got this tough spot where the bases are loaded with one out. Doesn't seem like he has his best stuff at that moment, but he has the ability to lock in and get two strikeouts to get out of the inning. And the second one was an at-bat where it was a young hitter, and Mercado, he was trying to hold back and not swing on these sliders out of the zone. DeGrom was not giving him anything to hit. And ultimately, with the count full, DeGrom continues to go to that well, throws a slider that ultimately bent out of the zone, and Mercado just could not hold back on it. Check swing, gets called as a strike, and there you go. The Mets get out of a huge jam there, and DeGrom didn't have another jam that he had to get through. He was just unhittable throughout the rest of the night, gave up three hits overall, two in that inning, only walked one batter, and he had 11 strikeouts, lowered his season ERA to 0.62. So that was the pitching side of things on Saturday. He got some run support. Jose Peraza and Francisco Lindor each homered in the fifth inning. Jonathan Villar and Kevin Pillar each had RBI singles down the stretch as the Mets cruised to the 4-0 victory. Then you had the culmination of it all, a complete team victory on Sunday. We saw some great defensive plays. Brandon Drury turning a really nice double play, making a sliding stop over on third and being able to touch the bag with his glove and then throwing the runner out at first. We saw Marcus Stroman once again have another outstanding outing. Might not have been a DeGrom-level start, but he allows just one unearned run, an error he made himself, gave up four hits, walked four, had seven strikeouts, nearly made it through seven innings. Miguel Castro was ultimately asked to come in and get the final out after Stroman gave up a two-out double, but overall, another really solid performance by the Mets' number two starter. He also got back that run that he gave up with his error by getting an RBI double the following inning. And the Mets, as a team, had 10 hits, scored 6 runs, went 2-for-4 with runners in scoring position with Billy McKinney and Pete Alonso collecting those knocks. Dominic Smith hit a solo homer, his fourth of the year. And James McCann had a late 2-run homer that gave the Mets the big late lead. Very comfortable for Trevor May in that ninth inning. He did give up a run. But in the end, the Mets are able to win that game 6-2, and they get the series split, which is what we were talking about going into it, and was as good as you could have expected. Could the Mets have won that series? Absolutely. I mean, the first game, they had their chances. The second game, Francisco Lindor at one point was standing on third base with no outs, and again, the Mets didn't score. But they went on the road out to San Diego. They won 2 against a really good team. You're still in first place. You still have a comfortable lead in the division. Can't get mad at this team with what they did over the weekend. Things might get a little bit tougher from here, but the Mets are showing a lot of positive signs. Francisco Lindor and James McCann, maybe being at the forefront of that, have really turned things around offensively. That's what I want to talk about in a minute, as they have seem to become worth the investment the Mets made in them this offseason. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors: wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. They also have a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors: cherry ice, citrus, and mint. It's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to you each month. It's simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Locked on MLB Network listeners can go to lucy.co and use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout for that 20% off discount. Warning: this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONMLB. One of the biggest storylines with the Mets this season has been the lack of production from their two big offseason additions, Francisco Lindor and James McCann. But lately, those guys have really been turning it around at the right time because this lineup still needs them. Even with Pete coming back, you look around and Brandon Drury's getting a lot of playing time. Jose Peraza's getting a lot of playing time. Billy McKinney is certainly not someone you expected to be in the lineup every day, even though he has been very solid for the Mets. So the guys that you knew were going to be there at the start of the season, Lindor, McCann, Alonzo Smith, they really need to carry things. And these guys have been doing that as of late, which is why the Mets have been winning. After the game on Saturday, where Lindor got a couple of hits, had another home run, I took a look back at what he's done over the past month. So if you go from May 6th through June 5th, Francisco Lindor hit 280 with a 380 on base percentage and a 480 slugging percentage. That was good for an 860 OPS, and this was exactly 100 at-bats. So a perfect sample size to measure what this guy was doing. That is not just encapsulating an 8-game hitting streak, that's taking it back to May 6th, a full month. That's solid. It looked a lot worse because he was dragged down by a terrible first month and change of the season where he was hitting well below the Mendoza line. But he's really started to turn around, and this isn't just over the last 2 weeks. It's been steady for about a month where he has been an above average offensive contributor who is doing what you expected him to do. If you look at his career, yes, Lindor has three 30 home run seasons, but he's never been the massive run producer, has 120 RBIs, who slugs a crazy clip, and he's never quite been that guy. He's not Pete Alonso as a run producer. But what he is a guy who will get on base a lot, score a lot of runs, hit for some power, and just do everything well. And we're starting to see a lot more of that. He's been playing elite defense all year, and over this stretch, dating back to May 6th, he's led the Mets in runs scored at 21. So that is generally his job. Score a lot of runs, play great defense. He's doing that. One of the things that I think we do at times is we look at Tatis and we look at Lindor. They're both making close to the same money. And you think, okay, well, he's got to play up to Tatis's level. And I think after the series, Lindor is quoted saying, he's better than me at some aspects. I'm better than him at other aspects. They're different players. Fernando Tatis Jr. is 6'3", has a ridiculous amount of power, plays with a reckless abandon that is, I don't know if I want to say unsustainable, but he is electric. Not to say Lindor is not, but he's electric in a way that Lindor just doesn't quite measure up to. But Lindor is this unbelievable leader. He is this incredible defensive shortstop who is anchoring a team in a lot of ways that we probably don't see. Not to mention now he's coming around offensively. And so I think that you have to kind of put aside the contract, put aside the comparisons, and just think about what the Mets were before Lindor and what they've been after. And that's not to say that all the Mets' success this season is a result of Lindor, but he's been a big part of a lot of it. And one last thing to look at when it comes to his offensive numbers, just a weird stat that I've found here. In his last six strikeouts across this month, he struck out swinging 5 times. Now, does that really mean anything? How is he striking out? Usually I'd say no. It's kind of stupid. And maybe it is. But to me, it's showing a level of aggression that we didn't see early on in the season where he was slumping, where it didn't feel like he was comfortable at the plate, where it seemed like when he struck out, he was strikeout looking. Now, it seems like he's going up trying to attack pitches and trying to do a lot more damage with his bat than we saw previously. He's only drawn 1 walk over his last 10 games played. Now, that's not necessarily a good thing, but again, it shows that aggression. So I really do believe this turnaround from Lindor is sustainable. I think he's going to play very well leading into the All-Star break, and hopefully he has a really big second half. along with him, you have James McCann, who has found that power stroke again, 4 home runs in his last 7 games. If you go back to May 16th, James McCann was hitting 200 exactly at the Mendoza line with a 262 on base percentage. And here's the big one, a 232 slugging percentage. Since then, he's raised that batting average 28 points to 228. The on-base percentage has gone up 25 points to 287. But the big jump is slugging. Went from 232 all the way up to 379 on the season. Similar to Lindor, McCann once again looks comfortable in the box. He looks like he is hunting pitches. He is finally getting some air under the ball as opposed to early in the season where he was killing a lot of worms, hitting just nothing but ground balls. He's starting to look like the guy who was an all-star in 2019 and is coming off an amazing season in 2020. The guy the Mets gave $40 million to. So hopefully the adjustments that these guys have made are sustainable. And we're going to see a lot more of this over the coming weeks and months as the Mets are really relying on McCann and Lindor to carry them right now and to be key cogs in what eventually should be a much better offense down the stretch of the season. But this is going to be a very tough stretch for the Mets. I'll tell you what I'm talking about that in just a minute. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with so many amazing flavors to choose from, like my personal favorite, the Cookies and Cream Bar. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars are low in calories, they're low in sugar, but they are high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, or Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards TV shows and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. So the New York Mets will play a 2-game series against the Baltimore Orioles this week on Tuesday and Wednesday, with 2 off days sandwiched in between there, one on Monday and one on Thursday. This is very important to this team because they're not going to get a lot of rest after this. If you remember, dating back to when Jacob deGrom first went on the injured list, I was talking about a tough stretch the Mets were going to have where they were playing 17 games in 17 days. They did not have a single day off for over 2 weeks. We just got through that stretch. This is the first scheduled off day since that started all the way back in the middle of May. Now, the Mets ended up getting some off days during that stretch because of rainouts. 2 of their games were postponed. They ultimately went 9-6 across that span. And this past week, as I've previously said, they went 4-3. So they've done a very nice job as of late. But things are only going to get tougher, because after their off day on Thursday, the Mets will begin a stretch starting Friday where they're going to play 34 games in the final 31 days before the All-Star break. They only get one day off on June 24th. So prior to that, from June 11th to June 23rd, it's 15 games in 13 days. They get a day off. Then June 25th, all the way up to the All-Star break, 19 games in 18 days. This is them making up for all the games they missed early on in the season. They still have 7 makeup games they had to play this season. 4 before the All-Star break, 3 after the All-Star break. So this is a critical week for the Mets because, for one, they have to beat up on the Baltimore Orioles, who are 21-38 this season, 10-20 at home. So you want to see the Mets take both of those games, quite honestly, because the teams get a lot harder after that. The next two is the Padres and the Cubs. So this is an important series in a sense because you're going to get a lot of rest and you're going to play a bad team. Now, the one good thing about this really tough stretch the Mets are going to have is they're going to play 22 of those 34 games at home, where the Mets have been outstanding this year. They're 15-5 at Citi Field. That's a .750 winning percentage. They keep that up, they're going to win this division by a landslide. Probably unrealistic to say, hey, win at a .750 clip at home all year long. But if they can get close to that, especially over this stretch, they're going to go into the All-Star break with a comfortable lead in this division. And right now, the Mets are 29-23. So they are 6 games over .500, where no other team in this division is over .500. But they've played 5 less games than the Braves, 6 less games than the Phillies and the Marlins, and 4 less than the Nationals. So this stretch where they're going to play 34 games in 31 days, it's going to get them at least a lot closer to a lot of these teams and games played. Might take the whole season to get back even with them, with all the makeup games they still have to play, the 3 more after the All-Star break. But this is a stretch that could define the Mets season. Because if things start to spiral for them, there's not going to be any off days to try to regroup and figure out what's going on. It's just going to be nothing but games. And that could be a good thing if the Mets are going well. If they can find a way to stabilize a starting rotation that's in a little bit of flux right now with no Carlos Carrasco and no Syndergaard coming in the near future. Looks like for now, you have your top three that you know you can depend on with DeGrom, Stroman, and Walker, but David Peterson having a rough season, Joey Lucchese still unsure if he's going to be a guy that can give you 80 and 90 pitches and go deep into games, so you're kind of always operating with the tired bullpen. You would think at some point the injuries could catch up to them, and this would be the type of stretch starting Friday that would eventually bring your faults to the surface, because there's not going to be a break. It's going to be constant. But let's just say the Mets sweep the Orioles this week and they're 8 games above .500 heading into that stretch. And then they play .500 baseball leading into the All-Star break from there. And at the All-Star break, the Mets are 8 games above .500 with over half of their season already played at that point. They're going to be in great shape to not only make the playoffs, but win the NL East. So I think that is why this upcoming series is important, because you can, with rest on the front end and the back end, build up more of that cushion above .500, because eventually they're going to lose some games. But you do that, you eventually start to get healthy. I figure by the All-Star break, you're likely to see, you would hope, Carrasco back, Brandon Nimmo maybe. Right now they're saying he's taking dry swings, could get to some real swings in the cage soon. So that's a good sign for him. JD Davis still kind of uncertain there, wearing a splint on his left hand right now, not swinging at all. So he might not be very close, but Jeff McNeil will likely start a rehab stint over the next couple of weeks. He should be back, you would think, before the All-Star break. Luis Guillorme is in the middle of a rehab stint right now. He played 3 innings in his first 2 rehab games, then 5 innings today. So far, he's 2-for-4 with 2 walks. Played 3 consecutive days, which is a good sign. So we'll see when he starts to play full games. If the Mets are lucky, maybe they get him back for their next series at home against the Padres next weekend. That's going to be a big boost. But this team has their work cut out for them. And I just think that this week in particular is a good time to reflect on what they've accomplished up to this point, to be in this great position, and also to prepare for what lies ahead, as they are going to be challenged greatly over this final period heading into the All-Star break. This team has proven that they are up for the task, but it is a tall one. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Going to do another giveaway this week, a signed photo of Wally Backman. So make sure you follow along with the rules to that at Locked On Mets on Twitter. And if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast, hosted by Peter Bukowski. Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.